What's up, everybody? It's Roger James here from the Disc Gaming Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be doing a retro review. We're going to be looking back at Star Wars A New Hope. Yep, the original Star Wars, or as I could refer to it as Star Wars. It was always funny, this thing of the New Hope. It wasn't a thing when we first watched it. It was always just Star Wars.
Well, it was for me, but I'm a little bit younger than you. All three of the original movies had come out by the time I saw the first Star Wars. So,
yeah, I was. I think Return of the Jedi was when I was about 3 years old when it came out, and
I was one.
Yeah, my dad brought it. It was that kind of thing. If it was always Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi, that was kind of how, like, we all referred to them. It was, even, you know, when they advertised it on television, it was never really A New Hope. So yeah. It always feels like that was something brought in when the prequels came in.
Not even the prequels. I think it was when they did the re-releases. You know, they added in the Han shot first scene. Yeah. They shot the Boba Fett and Jabba the Hutt in the hangar bay. I think that's when it became Star Wars A New Hope, at least, you know, in the cultural consciousness, because they plastered it on everything. A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. Yeah.
Yeah, it was, yeah, because that was what, the mid-90s, wasn't it?
It was before Phantom Menace, so yeah, let's say mid to mid-late 90s. Yeah.
I remember having them.
I actually remember, because I'm me and my friend, we went to watch, they re-released them all at the cinema.
Yes.
And we did, because it was literally, I think it must have been like 16, something like that. We all went to watch each of those Star Wars movies at the cinema because they were being remastered, new scenes. So, yeah, you know, it's like I did go and see that at the cinema when it came out. It wasn't just something, even though I'd seen it 100 times on VHS and it was on television every Christmas. Yep, I still went and watched it at the cinema and loved it. And it was just, it is one of those classic movies of when anytime it's on television, I will just keep watching. It doesn't matter if I drop in 50 minutes into it or 50, you know, an hour into it. You can just, wherever it is, you just land and you know where you are. You don't need to worry about it. It's like Back to the Future. I can just jump in anytime, anywhere, doesn't matter what, and I can just still enjoy, like, what if there's half an hour left or whatever, if it's on. And yeah, it is probably one of my best movies of all time. It probably influenced me so much. I mean, all my family and friends constantly moan about me humming Star Wars and the Empire constantly. I do it completely subconsciously. It is on that level where I just do it and it's just ingrained in me. This is something that I had. I've literally got a box of Star Wars toys here next to me from when I was a kid. It's just been something of my life, that and like superhero have just been something that's been constantly around. And A New Hope is just, you know, it's just classic Star Wars. But for me, that is what the whole original, it's what I grew up on as a kid. And I continue to watch it throughout my entire life. And I will still be watching it when I'm in my retirement home. it's just going to be one of them things.
Absolutely. Just it's great background noise, and it's great for, you know, something that you can have on while you're doing something else, or even just kind of like, I just need a movie that I don't need to think about right now because I already know every single line in this movie. I know the beats, I know the songs, everything. So, and it's interesting because, unlike, say, last week when we were talking about Steamboat Willie, which I would say is fair, most people know about it, but they don't know it. They know that one little clip at the beginning with the steering wheel and everything, but they don't really know the full movie. New Hope, even if you haven't seen A New Hope, you know a lot of the story beats simply because of how ingrained in modern culture it is. You don't even realize just how just part of our culture it is. I'm trying to think of other ways to put that, but it, you know, you can make references to it and people just understand what you're talking about. Now, they might, if they haven't seen the movie, then they probably are missing like subtleties to it, or like they don't have a specific connection to it, but they get, you know, may the force be with you, that, you know, it's a well wish. It's a, a thing, you know, and Luke's father. I mean, obviously that was, huh?
I was like, nanny, nanny.
Someone's going to hunt you down, man. I think that was Gandalf, right?
It was always that thing of growing up of like Star Trek versus Star Wars. And I was a fan of both, so I was always fine.
I enjoyed both too. I never really understood the fight between, and I realize it's a play fight, except for, you know, some people who have no sense of humor, and but I remember when Phantom Menace came out, there was like videos of people dressed up in Star Trek cosplay, like walking past all the people in the Star Wars line, just like making fun of them. Like, yeah, well, at least our movies are good. That was before they saw Phantom Menace, but you know.
Yeah, it was on Big Bang Theory when Will Wheaton turns dressed up in his gear, you know, and they're just waving to everybody in the crowd. And it's just that kind of, it was always that thing of growing up with it. And I think as well, like New Hope, I mean, it revolutionized movies. The way of, it's hard to kind of understand, even, you know, us, and we live with the after effects of it. But before that, like science fiction was kind of, you know, it wasn't, you know, we had like, was it, I don't know if Flash Gordon was before it, but you know, all the old, things like Lost in Space, the TV series and things like that. And yeah, sci-fi was always kind of quite cheap and didn't look great. And also just as a whole, it changed how people did special effects. It completely revolutionized. I mean, that and Superman definitely kind of completely changed movies going forward. And they were definitely the highlights for me growing up. Just of those things were so amazing.
I would also add 2001, A Space Odyssey, onto that. Not necessarily because it's a great movie, but because of how they handled practical special effects, and they changed the way that movies were shot from a, you know, cinematic perspective. And like you said, sci-fi before this, you know, you would watch even movies, even high budget movies, you would see the ship moving across the screen, and if you look closely, you could see the strings that were holding it up. And Star Wars was the first time they really used blue screens, now green screens, but blue screens at the time to kind of make it fairly seamless. And, you know, they really got those tight angles going into the trench run at the end. And it was a completely different experience from what anybody had seen before. And we just take it for granted now because, like many of the movies that influenced Star Wars, you know, the Akira Kurosawa Hidden Fortress, movies like that. And then the Dam Busters, which was a big influence on the bombing run. Star Wars has become so influential that shots in other movies, whether intentionally or otherwise, you're just like, oh, hey, that's the scene where Luke and Leia kind of swing across the chasm, and that's them blocking people. And it's like, wait, but this isn't a Star Wars movie.
Because obviously as well, it was originally inspired, because it's hard to imagine a time when, you know, when George Lucas was making this, you know, they would have gone to the television, they would have gone to the cinema every week to watch a serial. You know, you think back to like Superman and Flash Gordon and things like this. They were weekly adventure things that were on at the cinema. And it was like, and that's where the whole thing at the beginning with the thing coming down was always about the, like setting up what's happened before, because it was a serial. And that's what he was trying to kind of jump into. And, you know, and I was like, when my dad and stuff is like, that's what they used to do as kids, was that was going to the cinema, and you used to get that because, you know, previously on, you know, and you know, because it, you think back now and you think it says Episode 4, A New Hope. Well, I don't know if, like, it's like at the time you never paid any attention to that. You never thought, well, up into 1, 2, and 3. It was just Star Wars, and that part of it was, and then they gone back and made the prequels, and so it's like all this elaborate plans, like. I don't think it was an elaborate plan. I just don't know how it happened, but I can't ever think of, I'm going to make prequels in 20 years time. It's like, if this movie bombed, it was over. There was no foresight into what was going to happen. And I think sometimes it's like time kind of, it's like, no, it wasn't planned like that at all.
No. And it is important to remember that George Lucas is very much a revisionist historian. The origin of Star Wars changes almost by the year. The origin of the Empire Strikes Back, of episode 4, 5, and 6, and episodes 1, 2, and 3, and all this changes basically depending on how long it's been since you've asked him last time. But having said that, we can generally piece together the timeline. And also, it is worth keeping in mind, anybody who is seriously writing, whether or not the story they present you, they know more of the backstory.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not they intend to tell that backstory or to continue the story forward is a different matter entirely. But I personally believe, based on what I've read, Star Wars was originally just supposed to be a one-off. And then the tale of episode 4 and 5 and 6 and 1 and 2 and 3 came later once they realized. And heck, even the cast and crew thought this was going to be a total flop. The only member of the cast who was like, no, this is actually going to be really good, was Sir Alec Guinness. And he was the one who negotiated, no, I want part of the profits here. You can give me a little bit less up front, and I'm going to take a percentage off the top of the gross. He was the only cast member who did that.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely kind of that element of it was unique and it was different. And you watch it now, and it's hard to imagine, you know, when they're all talking about, you know, I remember going to Celebration and Mark Hamill was telling us all about, you know, these lines and stuff. And, you know, they didn't make any sense to any of them. They all thought they were just talking gibberish. You know,
they kind of were.
They were. And at the time, of course, it had none of that thing to it. And I think New Hope, it's so difficult now to look back on it. And, you know, like, I've had staff and stuff, you know, they're 16, 17. You know, have you seen any Star Wars movies? You know, I do that as the job in like, right, can you do your job yet? Have you seen Star Wars? The Marvel movie. And it's like, no, it's like, right, you need to watch them come back. And I'll have so you do kind of like they go, oh, I've never seen any of them. And I did. And it's that kind of thing of, it must be hard for like a kid now or a teenager to be looking at something like A New Hope and then looking at something like Solo, and they're all part of this. I mean, luckily the older ones on the newer ones are kind of making it look like the old ones, but yeah, some of the scenes and stuff, you can see like how much more ropey it looks.
Oh yeah. And this is actually one of my favorite recent memories, is I was having lunch with my cousin and her son, who was 5 or 6 at the time. And he was doodling on his napkin, you know, cause he's a little kid and the adults are talking, so he's bored out of his mind, and he's drawing little stick figure TIE fighters on his napkin, just like I did when I was his age, you know. And I look at him and, oh, that looks like a TIE fighter. And he looks at me like, you know what Star Wars is? Like,
yeah,
I kind of know what Star Wars is.
I must admit, it was funny because when we friend's kid, he's like 6. He comes in, he's got his Star Wars t-shirt, and I say to him, and he's like this, and that. And I'm like, has he actually watched any of them? And they're like, no, he's got toys, he's got merchandise, he's got t-shirts on. Never seen it at all. So I know, like, when I took him on Star Tours, it's like they were all going on the Tower of Terror. So I'll take him on the Star Tours. I've already done it once today. I don't mind. I can do it as many times as I want. You know, he loved it. It was like, and it's like, you know, when we go and they're all walking around and all, you know, they're all laughing at me being like the biggest kid there. Like when the parade started and all the characters coming out, and I literally just stopped dead, like, we're not moving. And they were sitting there going, well, come on. I'm like, no, this is more important than Mickey Mouse. Being Darth Vader on it's that kind of thing of, this is why it's got such a power, is because it's been around for so long and it's ingrained in a generation. And also, like now with the younger kids are more used to Clone Wars, and then you got the new generation coming up with Rey, Finn, and Poe, etc. But it all started with this one movie. And I think, you know, and at the time, I mean, you look back now and you think like the Boba Fett Christmas special and all these other things of, at the time,
The Ewok movies.
It was fun, and they were still messing about with it because it wasn't serious. It wasn't meant to be serious at the time, and it wasn't this big thing of the lore and all the rest of it. And it was a simpler time. It was, what, 77? I mean, I was -3, so it wasn't even... But by the time I came up, it was starting to build that, and everywhere you went, you know, we had the action figures and all the rest of it. And even we think that movie merchandise didn't exist until this movie. You know, it's like literally like, this movie changed everything.
And that was Lucas's genius to a certain extent. Not even necessarily the story, not even necessarily the way that the movie was shot, the special effects. It was the merchandise where he negotiated the deal with Fox, where he's with the distributors. You know, I'm going to finance this movie entirely myself, but that also means all the merchandise are mine. And I think even when Mel Brooks made the parody movie Spaceballs a number of years later, he's like, all right, you can make the parody, but you can't sell any merchandise for it. That's my thing. And that's why that whole thing in Spaceballs with yogurt trying to sell the merchandise to the guys, that was where that came from. But I mean, and it worked out for Lucas. Obviously, he's a billionaire. Yeah, he sold, even before he sold Star Wars to Disney, I don't know what his net worth was, but it's a heck of a lot more than mine was. Let's just say that.
Yeah, it revolutionized it. And yes, the story is very simple. It's very easy. And it's also nicely tied up into one little bow, because at the time, and if you watch it back, they all got their medals. They're all celebrating. Because essentially at that point, it was won. They'd won.
Except for Chewie. No medal for Chewie.
Yeah, no medal for Chewie. But generally at the time, and you watch it back, that was its own little self-contained little thing. They had the victory. They had a celebration. And that was it. I mean, obviously, we did have a celebration at the end of Return of the Jedi. And they carried on that theme in like Phantom Menace. I think Phantom Menace had it.
Yeah, had the dance. You know, they had the giving of the orb. And they had the Gungan song.
And I think at the end of... No, we didn't have anything at the end of Revenge of the Sith.
No. That was not a victory.
That was not a victory. But it was that kind of thing of, like, that whole thing of setting up a big... It was a finish. People walked away from that going, I'd like to see more of that. But there was no cliffhanger. There was no nothing else. It was just left as a single entity. And it changed movies and changed industry forever from that movie.
And it still holds up as a movie on its own. If you were to show this to someone who had not seen Star Wars before and you ended it at A New Hope, just that was the only movie you showed them, they might be a little bit mystified about why Star Wars is as huge as it is, but they would at least be able to go, okay, that's a pretty good story. The special effects a little bit dated, but solid. Yeah. And you know,
but also I think because he has been constantly tweaking it, you know, it has been HD 4K, it has kept being, you know, the quality of that film is so much higher than most other movies, because he really did focus on restoration and and obviously he went back and added CGI effects and changed scenes and took out stuff that he didn't like. Some of the stuff he added in, questionable, but it does mean now that it has held up even better. Because I always joke, you know, when everyone is like, you know, have you seen this movie? It's like, no. Have you seen that movie? No. It's like, why? Well, it was because it was before Star Wars. I said, no movies existed before Star Wars. I don't watch anything before Star
Wars. So at work, because we all are a huge bunch of nerds, one of the things we keep track of is our video library. Yeah. And in our database, we have to put a start date for the licenses for the videos. We have set the start date for every single video to May 22nd, 1977, yeah. May 4th, whatever the May date was. So even if the movie was made in like 1919 or 1930 or whatever, the beginning of it in our records is 1977, because we are that big of a nerd.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I said to someone the other day, and my wife did just turn around and goes, you're such a nerd. I think it was because we were driving along. And we drove past this truck, and it said hazardous waste on it. And I had to turn around to my wife and said, if that thing crashes now, we'll get superpowers. And she just turned like, you're such a geek.
And yet you're married.
Yes. Somehow I managed to tone it down a couple of weeks to kind of, it's just, but yeah, it's just great. I mean, I think Star Wars, it is classic. It is, you know, it's that thing of, it was fantastic. And you can't really put that over enough, really, of just, it was easily one of the best movies I think I've ever seen. I don't think nothing will ever. I mean, yeah, Star Wars movies. You could argue Empire Strikes Back is a better movie or whatever. It's like, it's only because New Hope worked. Empire Strikes Back without New Hope doesn't work.
Right. Yeah. If you were to say, take this experiment of showing a person just one Star Wars movie, you might be able to get away with, say, Phantom Menace, even though that's not a movie I would pick. But like, yes. If you're talking strictly from a structural point of view, not whether it's a good movie or not, Phantom Menace is largely self-contained. There are a couple of dangling plot threads, such as Emperor Palpatine, not yet an emperor, but, you know, we'll keep an eye on this Anakin, etc. It is largely a self-contained movie, just the way A New Hope was. I don't think any of the other movies in the series, whether we're talking 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 7, 8, Rogue One, or Solo, none of them stand on their own anywhere near as well as A New Hope does.
Yeah. But we'll have to know what you guys think of Star Wars A New Hope and comment or get in touch with us on social media. Go check us out over at thiskingdom.com. Like, follow, and subscribe on all the different video and audio platforms. And James, where can they find you?
You find me at heroiclegacy.com.
On that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Later.
May the force be with you.
Thanks. Got it.